times when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky
Thank you, Miss Christie, for that song. Open your Bibles tonight to two verses of Scripture. Now I want to speak to you on the subject, the importance of prayer with thanksgiving. The importance of prayer and thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, and Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Colossians 4, verse 2. You know, one of the things that continue to amaze me down through the years is, though I do not broadcast what I'm going to be preaching, when the person singing has a relationship with God and asks His direction, I'm amazed how many times the song and the message are on the same subject. And that blesses my heart. It's just another way of God saying, hey, I'm here. I'm still in charge. I can do far more for you than you can do for you if you just learn to trust me and lean on me. And whether you've admitted it or not yet, we do need Him. The older I get, the more I realize how much we need Him. If you found your place, stand and we shall read two verses tonight for the Scripture as a launching, from the Scripture as a launching platform for our message. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Or if you're from Myrtle Springs, it's but in everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I wonder how many times we get on our knees and ask, we pray, and we fail to give Him thanks for what He's already done. We fail to give Him thanks for just making prayer a possibility and reality in our life. We fail to give Him thanks for sustaining us through the weeks and through the things that could have been tragic in our lives. But for somehow, some way, we escaped great harm. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. Now there's a new concept. We pray as little as we can get by with, don't we? Just a quick one. But He says, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, continue in prayer and watch in prayer with thanksgiving. Miss Christie, I think God had that verse for you. Continue in prayer and watch, especially when you're driving, with thanksgiving. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. Lord, would You use it to encourage us to talk to You, to spend time on our knees with You. Not one of us is in such good shape we don't need to pray. Every one of us have problems and difficulties and heartaches and burdens and pressures and sicknesses that we cannot handle alone. And there is a great God in heaven who beckons His children to come before Him and lay out in our petitions on the altar of mercy and grace so He can intervene in our behalf. And then when You do intervene, we so foolishly accept it as though we deserved it, and we never stop to give You thanks and praise for all You've done for us, how You've watched over us, how You've saved us from great hurt and great harm in times of danger. And we sure do love You and thank You for being such a great God. Now help us, Lord Jesus, to learn how important prayer is for every Christian's life. It's as important on the best day of our life as it is when we're in the greatest crisis of our life. And help us to learn to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are more references to prayer and the Christian activity of praying than any other activity I know of in the Bible. 533 times the Bible talks about prayer and praying. 12 times in the Gospel, references are made concerning the prayer life of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' darkest hour, He did not read the Bible. He did not go soul winning. He did not preach. He prayed. When he got ready to make the most important decisions in his earthly ministry, he did not read the Bible. He did not go soul winning. He did not preach. He prayed, and on that occasion, he prayed all night. Prayer and Bible reading, along with witnessing, ought to be the three most frequent activities in the Christian's life. This ought to be true of every Christian. It certainly ought to be true of every preacher and every Sunday school teacher. Dr. John R. Rice said every failure in our Christian life is a prayer failure. And that could be true in our business life or our married life, our finances, or in our ministry. Jesus tells us plainly that some things cannot happen and will not happen in our lives without prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, verse 21, he said to his disciples that could not cast out a spirit, he said, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And may I say to you, some of the things we need in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in our ministries, will not happen except with prayer and fasting. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies beyond the will of God. I wish I could tell you that that was an original statement with me, but it's not. You knew that, of course. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except what lies beyond the will of God. We do not fail at the will of God because it's too hard or because it cannot be done. We fail at the will of God because we are trying to do His will without prayer, without fasting, without direction, and without His power. We have not because we ask not. I'm here to tell you God has promised to give the Holy Spirit to any of His children who will ask for Him. Luke 11:13 tells us, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Now we ask Him for a lot of things. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit will do for you in your life, in your work, in your marriage, what money cannot do, what things cannot do, what a new job cannot do. Oh, how we need Him. Let me give you this simple formula for life. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Where are you in that equation? For our message tonight, I want you to follow along as I give you seven quick thoughts about the importance of prayer and thanksgiving. May I say, first of all, that prayer with thanksgiving has power to bind the strong man. It's important that we understand who the strong man is. So turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 3, and we'll read beginning in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, 'He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils.'" Now that's their accusation concerning Jesus. "And he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables, 'How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against him and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And I want you to know, in the negative sense, old Satan is a strong man when referring to our Christian life. He wants to bind us. He wants to hinder us. He wants to destroy us. The strong man we face day after day in our Christian life is old Satan. And we cannot successfully do the work of God if he is not bound. Too often we give him place in our life when the Bible tells us to give no place to the devil. Too often we give him access into our life when we as Christians are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the devil has no place in our life except that which we allow him to have. We cannot successfully do the work of God if Satan is not bound. And I'm here to tell you, prayer binds the strong man. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it was, as it is with you." The Bible tells us that prayer makes it possible for the strong man to be bound and the word of God have free course. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand up and preach the word of God when old Satan is bound and he's not hindering. When the power of God is at work. May I say to you, it's not just the prayer of the preacher that makes it possible for him to preach with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's your prayer also for the preacher and for the service that makes it possible. We're trying to do God's work with Satan loose among us when we don't pray. And I'm here to tell you that I can tell very plainly on those Sundays when people haven't prayed and Satan's loose in our service. Everybody seems to have kidney problems or bladder problems. There's always somebody's kid crying or somebody gets sick. See, when we don't pray, we're giving Satan a free ticket to mess with our lives and mess with our service. Without prayer and thanksgiving, Satan can influence us so that we lose control of our temper. We lose control of our spirit. And we turn against one another. It's amazing when Satan is loose among us or in one's life. He can make us think those who love us most are our enemies. Many Sundays are wasted because of the lack of prayer. You see, Satan hinders by distraction. People talking in the service. People getting up and going in and out. And finally, because some deacon or some usher won't take care of the problem, I have to from the pulpit. And people get mad at the preacher, because I have to deal with Satan's distractions here from the pulpit. And they say that he's harsh. He's not kind. Prayer could do away with a lot of that. If every family in this church prayed for Satan to be bound and the Word of God have free course on Sunday morning, we'd see a difference and we'd feel a difference. When the strong man is not bound by prayer, time and opportunity are wasted. Prayer binds the strong man. And I wonder, you know, one of the reasons we don't pray is because we're not thankful. We think we deserve everything we have. We think God is we're doing God a favor and that God owes us. We talk about people in America today that thinks the government owes them. And yet Christians today are living like we think God owes us, when we owe Him everything. And may I say to you, the time you spend in prayer with thanksgiving acknowledges to Him that you know it's all because of Him and all from Him. And without Him, we can do nothing. Secondly, prayer has power to stop or stay the judgment of Almighty God. Prayer has power to stay and stop the judgment of God. I don't know how close our nation is to the judgment of God. I don't know how close we may be living to the judgment of God. But I'm here to tell you, if you're living your life without regular and fervent prayer, you're living closer to the judgment of God than you have to. Prayer stays and stops the judgment of God. In the Old Testament, because of Israel's worship of the golden calf, God said He's going to consume them. He's going to wipe them off of the face of the earth because they worship that golden calf. And in Exodus chapter 32, verse number 10, the Bible says, God said, "Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them." And Moses, the leader, prayed. And Moses begged God for mercy for Israel. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 11, the Bible says, "And Moses besought the Lord his God." Here's what he said: "Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people." And because Moses prayed, the Bible says in verse number 14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." The prayer of one man held back the judgment of God and stayed the judgment of God against sinning Israel. Now, if you're right with God, what could your prayer do? What could your prayer do? What could your prayer do for a missionary family on the field if you prayed for them regularly? What could your prayer do for your Sunday school teacher if you prayed for that Sunday school teacher on purpose, day by day? What could your prayer do for your preacher if you prayed for God's protection and God's power over his life as he stood and as he ministered? What could your prayer do if you had a prayer life where you fervently prayed? Prayer has power to stay and stop the judgment of God. Thirdly, prayer provides people for the workforce. Prayer provides people for the workforce in God's work. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, "Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." You know, what we major on all the time is not the great harvest that's out there, but the few laborers. We ought to be thanking God for those we have. We ought to be rejoicing in those who have a heart to serve God. We ought to be thanking Him for those who are faithful and dependable. I remember 30 some odd years ago, we got a family in church in Louisiana. Their name was, it was the Sperlin family. Young family with children, and they just moved into that area from up north. They got in church and began to grow and serve the Lord. I gave them a junior one class. They taught that class for 24 years. 24 years. And then he had some health problems and couldn't teach and do the work there in Junior One, so he asked the preacher if he could move up to his class and help him. He's been serving now for 30-some-odd years. Hey, don't take people for granted that serve the Lord and serve the Lord. The first Sunday of December in my Sunday school class, Mrs. Williams will have played the piano for 20 years for my Sunday school class. Don't take that for granted. A little over 21 years ago, I asked Mrs. Cavanis to head up the nursery. And for 21 years, she's been there, and I've not had to worry about that ministry. Don't take those things for granted. We thank God for the faithful laborers. Don't major on just the fact that the laborers are few. Thank God for the few. And if we need more and we want more, God tells us how to get them. We don't get them through a recruitment program. We get them through prayer. Therefore said he, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. God commands us to pray for new workers in our workforce. Our workers' needs will never be filled with the right people if we just go about trying to recruit them. See, I want people God works on. I want people with a heart for the work and a touch from God concerning the work. How do we get those kind of people? Pray. We're to pray for faithful workers. We're to pray for those that are now serving to continue to serve and new workers to fill the empty vacancies in our workforce. To staff our Sunday school as it is now, we need just in the English side, I believe it is, 80-some-odd workers. To staff our bus ministry, we need 75-plus workers. And that does not even count for the helpers in the nursery or the children's church ministries. Just the workforce account for a great number of people in the church. So you need helpers and workers in your Sunday school department or on your bus route. God tells us to pray instead of complaining about it. To pray instead of griping about it. To pray instead of getting upset and quitting. This is the Lord's ministry. It is God's responsibility to supply the workforce. And the way we cry out for new workers is on our knees, praying for the Lord to send forth workers into the workforce. And let me tell you, if you'll learn to pray, and if you'll learn, instead of complaining, if you'll learn to pray instead of griping, and if you'll learn to pray, you won't be one of the quitters. Because Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus says, as he spake a parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not faint, not quit. Number four, prayer plugs us into the power source. So we can be effective in God's work. Now we've got a bunch of people holding down positions, but some of them aren't effective. They're just holding a position. They started out with 3 10 years ago. They still have 3. Don't ever plan on having any more. But let me tell you, you don't have to have power of God to mess with 3 people for 20 years. But if you're going to build people and grow people and minister to people and help meet needs for people, we've got to be men and women of prayer. We've got to have the power of God, and prayer plugs us in to the power source. Every one of us at one time or another have tried to work a drill motor or a vacuum or something of that nature and wonder why it wouldn't work, and it wasn't plugged in. in. It's amazing when you plug that thing in what you can do with it. It's amazing when you get plugged into the power source what God can do with you. And prayer helps plug us in to the power source so God can fill us and work through us. You remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had been crucified, been buried and risen. The disciples had gotten discouraged and quit. Jesus met with Peter and five others on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and asked them that question three times, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Then he went back up to the mountain where he's going to ascend back to the Father. And here's what he said to that little band of Christians, 120 in number, about. He said, "I want you to go back to Jerusalem. And I want you to tarry there till you be endued with power." They went back. And in that upper room, they, Bible says in verse number 14 of Acts 1, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You say, what happened? Acts chapter 2 talks about the day of Pentecost being fully come. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to preach. 3,000 people got saved that day and got baptized that day. The same people were ministering that had hid behind locked doors just days and weeks earlier. That was the same people that had been discouraged and quit. And now after that prayer meeting, they stand up with God's power and they preach, and 3,000 get saved and baptized in one day, one service. You go on a little further and you read in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the church is meeting together again, and it says, when they had prayed, seems like prayer had an important place in the church when they met together. And it ought to still have an important place in the church and in our hearts and in our lives. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now I want you to know the Holy Spirit is the power source that God has promised to every Christian. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want to ask you tonight, are you plugged into God's power source? It begins by asking in prayer as a Christian. I say to you, we have not the power of God because we ask not for the power of God. Fifthly, prayer produces boldness in the praying Christian. Prayer produces boldness. I'll not tarry here long. I've already read the scripture in 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And listen to it. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Timid Christians tell me they have no prayer life. Timid Christians tell me they don't have a right relationship with God because the Holy Spirit of God overcomes timidity in our life. Are you plugged in? Do you have that power in your life? They spake the word of God with boldness. Sixthly, prayer opens doors and causes people to ask the right questions. Prayer opens doors and causes people to ask the right questions. Somehow or another, we've got the idea that if we're ever going to be soul winners, we've got to be great talkers and we've got to be great, have great personalities. It might surprise you what God could do with the simplest person here if they'd bathe their life in prayer before they ever go. Here the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 has been beaten, put in prison, and had their feet made fast in stocks. And in verse number 25 it says, at midnight Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Hey, what caused those doors to get open? You say the earthquake. Why did God send an earthquake? Because His servant in prison were praying. Praying. And all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prisoner, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that all the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then that jailer called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the right question every one of us desires to hear lost people ask. What caused that? Started out with a Christian servant doing God's will, getting put in jail. Instead of in jail having a pity party, they had a church service and they prayed. And they sang. They worshiped God. God opened all of those doors. Every one of them could have ran away free. Those that were in stocks or in chains, all of their bands were loosed. And they could have left. But no one left. And the jailer came in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Prayer opens doors and causes people to ask the right questions. I'm telling you, if you've ever been soul winning any length of time, and if you've had any kind of prayer life and any kind of walk in the Spirit of God, somewhere down the road, you're going to knock on a door and they're going to open that door. You'll say, I'm so and so from Trinity Baptist Church. We're out telling people about Jesus, and they're going to say, man, I'm glad you're here. We've been talking about that. How can we be saved and know it? You say, I've never had that happen. Well, what's your prayer life like? Maybe you're just going in the flesh. Maybe you're just going out of duty. Maybe you're not even going at all. Try putting prayer in it. Try begging God for open doors, asking God to intercede for you. Hey, you know this is not my work you're doing. This is not your work you're doing. It is God's work. We are obeying His command. You think if we'd pray and ask Him, He wouldn't move in our behalf and in our respect? How many of you have ever been out soul winning and you have what we call a divine appointment? Somebody that God's already been working on, they're just ready to be saved and you just happen to be there at the right time? No, it's in God's providence. How many of you have ever had that happen? Yeah, if you've been at it long, you'll have it happen. Isn't it exciting? You'd be surprised how many times it happened. If you had a relationship with Him where you prayed and asked for His guidance, asked for His power, asked for His cleansing, asked for His help, prayer opens doors and causes people to ask the right questions. Now let me conclude. All that I must do, I cannot do without His power and without His guidance. I must pray. It takes more energy and more time today to do what I used to do 10 years ago. I must pray. Not only must I pray, I must have a wife who prays for me. Not only must I have a wife who prays for me, I must have a church who prays for me. As a church, we must have a workforce who is right with God and knows how to pray and how to walk in the Holy Spirit of God. I say again, the limits to the prayer power of prayer is only that which is outside of the will of God. We must learn to spend time, as much time in prayer, or even more time in prayer than we do in our Bible or out witnessing. If we're going to be effective for our Lord, we've got to learn how to pray. And dear friends, I'm here to tell you that all of our singing, all of our preaching, all of our teaching, all of our witnessing is in vain if God does not come down. Oh, the Holy One. I want Him to show up. I want Him to be on the scene. And you know what prayer is? My prayer and your prayer is our invitation to ask Him to show up. Ask Him for power. Ask Him to help us. Ask Him to be present in all that we do. And then lastly, as we pray, you know, we may not be very good at praying, but when we do pray, we're good at asking. But let us not forget the thanksgiving part of our prayer life. We must not forget to show gratitude to Him. For in our gratitude, we're acknowledging that He is the one that supplies our needs. He is the one for whom we serve. He is the one we worship. He is the one who gives out power and direction. It is His will we're trying to fulfill. And to try to do that and go through our life without thanking Him for what He's already done is to make us the most ungrateful people I can ever imagine. We have young people, kiddos, come by my office all the time. Eric is the most faithful. Eric will come to my office and he'll come to the glass door and I'll have my door open and he'll peck on the door and look through there and try to get my attention, and I'll see him and I'll motion and then he'll come. He'll come in and talk with me for a few moments. And while he's talking, he's looking up at the M&Ms. And I'll try to prolong it as long as possible without saying, "Eric, would you like some M&Ms?" And finally, I'll get around to it. He always says, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." I'll get him some M&Ms, and he'll take the little cup and look at me and says, and he'll say all every time, "Thank you." He knows that if I don't hear that "thank you," that'll be the last time he'll be invited into my office for M&Ms. Now let me ask you, if an old preacher will have that kind of rule, what makes you and I think that God in heaven will just keep giving out and giving out and giving out when we don't even acknowledge Him with a thank you? Oh, prayer is important. But don't you forget the thanksgiving part of the prayer. To give Him thanks and acknowledge that it's all about Him and from Him and ultimately for Him. Father, that's our message tonight. We need Thee, oh, we need Thee. Every hour we need Thee. And Lord, I've got a suspicion that in the days ahead, with the economy and the job situation and the world situation, as we near the end of the ages when Jesus shall come again, that we're going to find ourselves in greater need and in greater need than ever before. Oh, how we better learn how to pray. If our kids are going to make it without a wasted life, we'd better learn how to pray. If our marriage is going to make it without falling apart, we'd better learn how to pray. If we're going to be able to provide for our family, we'd better learn how to pray. If we're going to have a job, if we're going to be what we ought to be in our Christian life, we've got to learn how to pray. And in that prayer, we've got to learn how not only to ask, but to praise You. And with thanksgiving, honor You and worship You for all You are and all that You've done. Help us not be ungrateful Christians. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name.